Okay, good morning to you all. It's good to see so many of you here this morning. There's been a slight change from the original plans for this seminar. Perhaps you saw in Uplook and Missions Magazine where Jonathan Peck was going to be the speaker this morning. Unfortunately, Jonathan couldn't make it. He's in Zaire still, and because of the change to year 2000 and some political turmoil in that country, he and his family didn't think it would be a good idea for him to come out. It wasn't going to be a problem getting out. It would be more of a problem getting back into the country after the turn of the century. So CMML called me last month and asked if I could fill in. So my apologies to any of you that were hoping to see Jonathan Peck. I'm sorry there's no refund, but you're welcome to attend another seminar if you were expecting someone else to be speaking. Our topic this morning is evangelistic social methods that work. And this is a topic that I find very challenging and very stimulating to think about. And I'm hoping during our time together to get some input from you. I see that there's some that have been overseas and involved in the Lord's work, both overseas and here, and would love to get feedback from you about this topic. But before we begin, let's just ask for the Lord's guidance in our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the great privilege it is to be co-laborers with you in the greatest work in the world, that of sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for him who loved us and gave himself for us, for him who is our Savior and our Redeemer and our Lord, and for the one who's commissioned us to be ambassadors for him. Father, we pray for your help and guidance during our session this morning, that we might be even more aware of the tremendous challenge before us and might be better equipped to share your word in a world that so desperately needs you. We ask, Lord, for your help in these things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. E. Stanley Jones once said to Mahatma Gandhi that he was anxious to see Christianity embraced in India. He asked Mahatma Gandhi what he would suggest to make this possible. After some thought, Gandhi soberly replied, "I'd suggest that all of you Christians must begin to live more like Jesus Christ. Secondly, I'd suggest that you practice your religion without adulterating it or toning it down." I was really struck by what he said. "I suggest that you begin to live more like the Lord Jesus Christ." And I think there's an inherent danger in a seminar like this where we're talking about methods, to be focused in on methods when really the Lord himself, and I think the world around us, is looking for men who reflect the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. People want to see the reality of Christ in our lives and our ministries. As one man said, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one." We need to share our faith not just with our lips, but with our lives. As John said in 1 John 3:18, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." And there's no greater example, of course, of this than our Lord Jesus himself. And I think as we consider this topic, we want to be aware of his example. And we find that in Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Here we see the two hands of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was concern for spiritual needs, and those needs could only be met through the preaching of the gospel. But there was also concern for meeting physical needs. We saw that as he went about healing every kind of disease. We also saw that when he fed the multitudes, fed 5,000 people. So we look to him as our great example, don't we, in this whole area. I think we want to be aware, too, of the advantages of evangelistic social methods. I think more than anything else, the methods that we're wanting to talk about are ways to build a bridge into the community, especially in areas where people may have been indifferent or even hostile to the gospel. And in our experience in the Philippines, we praise the Lord for one ministry that we've been involved in. The mic is on. Yeah, thanks. That's a medical dental team, which was started back in 1986, and it consists of Christian doctors and dentists and nurses who are willing to volunteer their time on the weekend and go out and provide medical care in the name of our Lord Jesus, with the hope of building a bridge and winning a hearing in a community. And just to get, kind of give you a visual picture of that, I brought along a few slides. If we could have someone just turn off the lights in the back there for a few moments. I think just the white switch, yeah. Okay. Okay, this is one clinic that we held in a chapel. Basically what we do is a chapel will be converted into a clinic for a day, and the saints in that particular chapel will set up chairs and tables that will facilitate crowds of people coming in. Normally we'll treat anywhere from 150 to almost 400 patients in a day, and the folks are able to avail of medical care. This is Dr. Guadalupe Ponce de Leon and another doctor from Singapore who are providing medical care. Another doctor, Dr. Farinas. We also provide dental care and distribute medicine in a pharmacy. A lot of other groups are involved in these kind of social outreaches, like the Kiwanis Club and the Lions Club, but often they are not providing free medicine, and that's something that we've tried to do as the Lord provides. Along with the medical and dental care that's given, we try to preach the gospel. If there's a Filipino evangelist that can come with us and share the gospel while the people are waiting to be treated, then all that, we praise the Lord for that. Sometimes we don't have an evangelist with us, so we will just distribute literature, correspondence courses, gospel tracts, and that kind of thing, or speak to people personally as they're waiting to be treated. After the clinic, then we will leave names and addresses of those who attended the clinic with the local believers in that assembly, and they will in turn go back and visit and follow up those who attended. And we praise the Lord for how he's used this. In one area where we had a clinic on an island down in Batangas, there have been missionaries working there for quite a while, but hadn't seen any Bible studies started. After the medical dental team came, we were able to see four new Bible studies started there. In another area, we saw six new Bible studies started after the medical dental team had visited. So we praise the Lord for this kind of approach that builds bridges into the community and wins a hearing for the gospel. Can we have the lights again? I think of the example of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, where he said, "We prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." And I think more than anything else, people can sense when there's a genuine care and concern for them, that they're not seen as a project, but as people who we want to love and demonstrate the love of Christ for. I think we also need to be aware of potential hindrances or pitfalls that can come with evangelistic social methods. One is getting so socially involved with people that we neglect their spiritual need. We somehow end up being afraid or ashamed to share the gospel with them. And of course, this flies in the face of what it says in Romans 1:16, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those that believe." So I think it can be a snare to be more concerned about how we're perceived socially than to try to meet the great spiritual need that people have in their life. You know, when you look around at other groups that are involved in social action, you see communists, homosexuals, heavy metal groups, punk rockers, humanists, feminists, ecologists, new agers, cultists, and other groups. They're not ashamed to share their message. And how can we be ashamed to share the greatest person and the greatest message that ever was? God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Paul exhorted Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Another pitfall in evangelistic social methods would be the method preempting the message. In other words, an institution becoming the first priority rather than the gospel. The institution eclipsing the gospel and ending up with a social gospel rather than the true gospel. And we've seen this happen over and over again, haven't we? With groups that started off, I think, with good intentions, but ended up with the gospel being sidelined. You think about the YMCA, or the Red Cross, or even the Salvation Army. Christian institutions, but now have little or no gospel message. We need to remember that people aren't saved by participating in a program. They're not saved by visiting a Christian institution. They're saved by hearing the gospel and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we remain silent, in essence, we're saying that Christ and his work isn't as important as our project or our method. Another pitfall can be high expense. I know there are many mission boards now who are no longer building huge hospitals or Christian schools in other countries because of the tremendous expense that's involved. And often what can happen is Christian churches and organizations will pour millions of dollars into an institution only to see it taken over by the government and no longer being used by the church or by believers. And sometimes the governments that take over these institutions are hostile to the gospel. So it's sad to see that. Another pitfall or potential problem with evangelistic social methods would be the creation of what we might want to call rice Christians. The term comes from believers who were wanting to just help out with meeting physical needs and providing food and rice. And believers were very sincere in wanting to help, but what happened was people were making professions of faith as long as rice was available. Once the rice was gone, they were gone. So we want to avoid that kind of dependence on the physical or on the aid rather than on the Lord. We need to be aware, too, of our spiritual resources. First and foremost, the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isaiah said, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." So the Word of God should be central in our thinking and in our approach to evangelistic social methods. It's not an option. It's absolutely essential. And we praise the Lord for the abundance of good evangelical literature that's available today that can be distributed along with a social program. Gospel of John portions, Gideon Bibles. In the Philippines, we use a portion put out by the World Home Bible League called The Answer, which is almost like a comic book type format, but it's a question and answer type booklet that those who receive it fill out the answers to the questions in the booklet, and they return that to us, and we're able to give them a free New Testament once they've completed that. And we've been able to distribute hundreds and thousands of New Testaments through that program. Another would be Emmaus courses, Men Who Met the Master, What the Bible Teaches. These kind of pieces of literature are invaluable. Ultimate Questions by John Blanchard, a tract that was put out during the Olympics and the World Cup, More Than Gold. This kind of literature, we were amazed when we were passing this out. People would look at it and come back and ask for more. So these kind of resources are available to us. Secondly, of course, is prayer. The Lord Jesus, after seeing the multitudes, he didn't tell the disciples to go out and create a committee or strategize, but he called them to pray. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." You know, it's interesting. If you look at that passage, in the next chapter, it was those very same disciples who he had asked to pray. They themselves went out and preached the gospel. We need to understand that we're in a spiritual battle, and we need spiritual weapons to reach the souls of men. We want to work with him, to join him where he's working and how he's working, rather than cooking up our own schemes and looking for God's stamp of approval. I think we need to be sensitive to where God is leading and to join him in his work. I think that's one of the reasons we need to pray, is to seek his will and to be in touch with what God is doing in this particular community. It's almost like surfing. When you're surfing, you don't create the waves. You don't manufacture the waves. You wait for them to come along, and you catch the wave as it comes in. And I think we want to do the same thing in ministry. We want to ride the crest of the wave that the Lord himself has initiated. Thirdly, we need the Holy Spirit's filling and his guidance. We need to be sensitive to his leading, just as Paul was. If we look at Acts 16, we see where Paul was passing through the Galatian region. He was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when he came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. What happened instead? Instead, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia who called him to come to Macedonia, and the gospel went out into Europe instead. So we see Paul was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and followed the Spirit's guidance in his ministry, and we want to do the same. Another resource we have is other believers. We want to be asking about their experience, to ask advice from them, for their assistance, to ask for prayer as we consider these kind of methods. We want to be aware, too, of the nature of evangelism. We need to remember that successful evangelism is not an event, but a process. Even when we do conduct evangelistic events, they should be a part of an ongoing commitment to evangelism as a way of life. And think of what Paul said. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth." And so we see that progression of cultivation, of planting of the seed of the gospel, sowing, harvest, and multiplication. I heard somewhere that the average person has had at least 6 exposures to the gospel before making a decision for Christ. And so we need to see ourselves as links in that chain of exposure to the gospel. Okay. Secondly, we want to be prepared spiritually. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "To sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." So we want to be spiritually prepared in sharing the gospel with those with whom we come in contact during social type outreaches. We want to be prepared scripturally. As we said earlier, the Word of God needs to be absolutely central in our thinking and in our communication. We need to know the gospel, and we want to know how to make a smooth transition from the physical to the spiritual. Just like the Lord Jesus did in John chapter 4, when he was talking with a woman at the well, he said, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So what did he do? He moved her thoughts from the physical to the spiritual, from the temporal to the eternal. So we want to be thinking about ways to smoothly change the conversation from the physical to the spiritual. It's almost like shifting gears. We want to be careful not to be abrupt. I think about the Christian barber who was anxious to share the gospel with one of his customers. And while he was shaving him, he had a razor in his hand at the throat of his customer, and he said, "By the way, are you ready to die?" And the guy just about jumped out of the barber chair. He was trying to make a transition, but it was a little bit, didn't quite work out the way he thought it would. It's also helpful to know a simple gospel outline, such as God's offer is made to all, his offer is needed, his offer is just, and his offer must be accepted. We also want to be prepared socially. We want to be in touch with what's happening in the world around us. We need to be aware of current events and aware of what's happening in our particular community. We need to know the word, but we want to know the times that we're living in order to make the gospel relevant to those around us. And we certainly see that in the life of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9. Actually, we could start in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 9:19. "For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who were under the law. To those who were without the law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without the law." So we see Paul here was trying to find common ground, wasn't he, with those that he was trying to reach. And that's good for us. We want to try to find common ground. We all have similar problems, medical needs, car problems, family struggles, yard work, sports, hobbies. There's so many things that we have in common with unbelievers that we can use to initiate a conversation or share the gospel with them. So we want to be creative. Main point number three on our outline, we want to be creative and adaptable in sharing the gospel. We want to be flexible in applying the unchanging truth of the gospel in a rapidly changing world. The message doesn't change, but our methods must be current and relevant, and speak to people's needs. We want to be sensitive to times of crisis in people's lives, as often this is the time when they're the most open, isn't it? We saw this in the Philippines after Mount Pinatubo erupted. Boy, there was a tremendous surge in the interest in spiritual things. We had a huge earthquake there, and after that earthquake, the number of people coming to our Bible studies doubled. Why? They sense their need for God. So we want to be sensitive to the times and to the felt needs of those around us. We also want to be in touch, if we're working overseas, with the nationals' gifts and abilities, and to encourage them to use their talents and abilities to reach their own people in a way that we as missionaries couldn't do as well as they could. What resources do we have at hand? As much as possible, we want to use existing facilities, existing equipment, without having to make a big investment financially. And we want to be sensitive to what works best in the culture or situation that we find ourselves. Now we want to talk about some different approaches to the gospel. And here I really appreciate some input from you folks. I've just listed a few things here. And I'd like to have some input from you. Maybe you have additional comments or suggestions. One is to make use of relationship webs. We're talking about social methods of evangelism. Well, we need to be social people. We want to be in touch with people around us. We want to be available to attend social occasions, things like funerals, weddings, those kind of things, where we can make contact with our neighbors and have opportunity to share with them. One of the simplest things, but often is overlooked, is just the whole area of hospitality, inviting people into our home for a meal, or bringing a meal to a neighbor as a way of opening the door to share with them. Another approach is what we might call an Andrew dinner. Of course, Andrew was Peter's brother. Andrew himself was not a preacher, or not that we know of, but he was a bringer. He brought people to the Lord. And we can be doing the same by inviting people to a dinner, say in a restaurant, some kind of neutral location, where they can come and enjoy a meal and then hear an evangelistic message given. Lunchtime studies at work, business contacts. I think one of the other brothers here, Warren Henderson, has a workshop on the art of evangelistic Bible studies, and he has a whole section on how to conduct an evangelistic study at your workplace. Coffee house ministry, music. Brian Killens in Bogota, Colombia, has had a very effective ministry in a coffee house type format with a band that plays music and shares the gospel. And see, many come to know the Lord through that. Another possibility might be setting up a booth at a fair or a festival or a flea market. I know of believers that have done that here in the United States. In our home assembly years ago, we had flea markets at a local junior college, and we set up a Bible answer machine where people could submit questions about the Bible, and we were inside this big box scurrying around trying to find answers to the questions. Sometimes we don't always have the answers. But it provided a venue to dialogue about spiritual things and about the gospel. Another approach is at Christmas time, distributing food packages while we go caroling. In the Philippines, when people go caroling, often it's with the idea of coming to your house and asking for a donation. So we've tried to turn that around. Instead of going caroling to ask for a donation, we're there to give. And it's funny because people, when they'd see you coming, they'd sort of hide, thinking that you were coming to their house going to ask them for something. But then when they found out our group was there to hand out food packages, they came running after us and wanted them to come back. So that's another venue, is at Christmas time. Of course, we've mentioned the medical dental outreach is a possibility, and seeing the Lord use that to open up opportunities to share the gospel. Disaster and refugee relief. I mentioned Mount Pinatubo earlier. When Mount Pinatubo erupted, we were able to convert our campsite into a temporary refugee center. We had about 250 people come from Mount Pinatubo, and there was opportunities to share the gospel at that time. I think about the Johnsons in Burundi. They had thousands of people at their doorstep because of the refugee situation there. The Sturms and the Youngs in Albania, because of the conflict in Bosnia, had opportunities to share the gospel with the refugees that were streaming out of Bosnia. And I know they were giving scripture portions to those who came and trying to provide housing and food to these folks. And they had a unique opportunity to share the gospel with them. Another possibility might be counseling for AIDS patients. I know in Zaire, 30% of the population has AIDS? I mean, it's just incredible the overwhelming problem there is with AIDS. And there are Christian missionaries there who aren't able to do a whole lot about the AIDS disease itself, but are there to provide supportive counseling, to offer them hope where there is no hope. And they have seen many people come to know Christ, people who have AIDS, who are looking at a premature death, and who are now much more open to the gospel than they were before. Another approach would be support groups for divorced or for single parents. In the Philippines, we have a missionary, Sharon Agnew, who's involved with a home for single mothers. And she's been able to share the gospel with some of these ladies who are trying to raise a family on their own. Seminars and workshops on marriage, parenting. You know, I think more and more as we live in a post-Christian era, there's one thing that atheists or non-believers can't deny. Well, it's because Jesus Christ is the center of our family. Jesus Christ is the center of our marriage. And to offer seminars on marriage and parenting from a biblical perspective, I think is a tremendous way of sharing the gospel. Of course, sports and sporting events. I mentioned earlier the outreaches that we've had with the Olympics and World Cup, providing literature along that has an interactive guide to that event that also includes testimonies of athletes and a gospel message. Point 14, there's a mentioned here, campus outreach. That's really meant to be kind of an overall category for anything in the way of educational outreach. That could be campus youth groups, teaching English as a second language, both on campus. People are able to do that to help folks learn English and use the scriptures or use the gospel in that. Or at work. Some missionaries now are employed by companies to teach English in that company and have opportunities to share the gospel there. Another campus outreach in the Philippines is what we call religious instruction classes. And outside the United States, there's still countries where religious education and values education is a part of the curriculum. And praise God, we have opportunities to go into the classroom and share the gospel. One of our brothers in the assembly that I'm working with in the Philippines, he asked his class for his values education class. He said, here's a choice for you. We can study the textbook that the school has given us on values education, or I have another book you might be interested in. It's the Bible. And we can study that. And the class overwhelmingly wanted to study the Bible. And he had opportunity to share the gospel and saw people get saved through that approach. Another method that we've seen used with good success in the Philippines is chapel-sponsored preschools and kindergartens. I contacted Dave Harvey when I found out about this seminar and asked Dave to give me some feedback on the preschool and kindergarten program they have in Manila. And let me just read you what he said. He said, in Cainta and Rosario chapels, we have approximately 80 children in each of our kindergarten classes. We've had 2 to 3 families come into fellowship as a result of this ministry. The good thing about the kindergarten is that it gives a legitimate reason to visit neighborhood families. Our teachers visit with full-time workers and invite the parents to the chapel or offer home Bible studies. It's always exciting to have a special program at the chapel, seeing it full with parents from the community and the opportunity to present the gospel. As far as I'm concerned, it is one of the most effective ways to reach out to the immediate community. The success of the program is the visitation program and special programs at the chapel. We have many opportunities to present the gospel. So that's utilizing the chapel as a kindergarten or as a preschool and having Christian teachers there and then going back and visiting the parents as part of that program. Another approach, of course, is the Internet, which is now a worldwide medium of communication. And if you haven't had a chance to read Ernie Tan's article in Uplook, Fishing with a Giant Net, that's a great article on using the Internet for evangelism. Ernie says you can go fishing in any pond in the world right from your own home. And the Internet can be a valuable tool, or it can be a stumbling block if you're not careful. The Internet provides a unique opportunity to share Christ. In the United States alone, it's estimated that 84 million people have access to the Internet. And he said 327 million people around the world will be online by the end of this year. So what can you do? You can have websites that present the gospel. You can just write out your own testimony and
put that on your personal website. Ernie suggested providing a link to your testimony on every email that you send so that acquaintances can, with a click of a mouse, read how Christ transformed your life. Another possibility is dialoguing in chat rooms. There's some problems with that, though. That can be very time-consuming, and I think you need to be careful who you're talking with, too. There can be some inherent dangers in getting involved in a relationship with a stranger in a chat room. So we want to be sensitive to what works best. I think we need to be evaluating our ministries. Well, what is working? Am I using an outdated method? What's effective for the culture that I'm working in? What's working for others? Take a look at other people and how they're sharing the gospel. We want to learn from nationals' experience. They've been in their country all their life, and they have insights into their own culture and their own people that we may not have. We need to ask, are people being saved? Are people being baptized? Are people being brought into fellowship? And if not, then maybe we need to re-examine our approach. We want to train and motivate others in sharing the gospel. And just remember that success is not measured in numbers, but in faithfulness. You know, you think about Noah. Noah was called to preach to the world around him. And maybe by today's standards, when we're so interested in counting nickels and noses, Noah may have been considered a failure. But I think in God's eyes, he was a success because he faithfully proclaimed God's message even to those who wouldn't accept it. I think of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2. He said, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things?" Our adequacy is only in the Lord. And we do want to be a fragrance of Christ to those with whom we're working. I like something that B. Sam Hart said one time. He says, "I've never yet met a person who doesn't need the gospel. You can never share Christ with the wrong person." I think that's a good point to end on. Okay. At this point, I'd just like to open this time up for any questions or comments you might have. Experiences that you've had, maybe something that you've had experience with that we didn't mention. Yes, Elizabeth?
In Russia, I've had a chance to go into orphanages. And certainly, I received funding from various Christians in the States and Canada who just wanted to help poor people. Because I heard on the radio about the poor of Russia. Certainly, many of the orphanages are having difficulty feeding the children, and so I've been able to pass on money to help them feed kids. And this has definitely opened the door so that I could go back to Bible stories. One director, when I gave her $400, said to me, "You can come here anytime you want." Mm-hmm. This was the same day that an atheist teacher complained, and she was second in charge, but the welcome wasn't overruled. In fact, one of the ladies that had complained had to thank me the next week for what I had given them. Another opportunity is in camp work. I've seen this in Africa, Zambia in particular, but I know it's other places. If you compare this to camps in North America, you'd be surprised at how little sports there are. The kids spend all their time memorizing to get the prizes. And it's very hard to get them to come and play a game. They'll have maybe four different Bible study periods each day, as well as their private devotions. And so but they really enjoy it because they're on their own and in the bush and that kind of thing. There are many orphans in the world, and I'm thinking particularly of AIDS orphans in Africa. Many of their missionaries are supporting financially families that are stretched beyond their capacity because so many parents have died because it's the young age parents who are dying with AIDS, and their children are left. So many of our missionaries are involved in support to families or building orphanages. Mm-hmm. And of course, that means they have great influence on the children. Mm-hmm. Romania was left in a mess after their president, the states are involved in building an orphanage to house three children who have been living in sewers. And of course, this means that they can meet their physical needs, but also have a chance to meet their spiritual needs. Mm-hmm. Those are just some examples.
Yeah, that's good. So Elizabeth Brooks mentioned orphanage work and also camp work as tremendous opportunities for sharing the gospel. Any other suggestions? Yes?
I would just like to say that I've been involved in United States Church, not Bound Promise, and mostly a life instructor. And I'm interested in our young people, and my first warning to them would be to avoid the United States Church and also avoid the lie that, you know, our God is represented by them, and to go to Him Himself for who to go to, because He still has modern people here who know Him, mm-hmm. but they are not in the usual church. They are not. They are hidden there if mm-hmm. they're there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we need to be careful about which fellowship or which church that people are involved with. We want to make sure that it's a church that preaches the gospel, that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the scriptures are the basis for their faith and practice. Okay, any other suggestions, comments, questions? Yes?
I have a question. Your last comment was that we can understand because of the wrong person, and I like that idea very much. But I was just wondering about something earlier that you mentioned about Paul not preaching in a certain town. And it was on your outline of being guided by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I guess it doesn't matter. Okay, well, in Paul's life, we were referring, the question was, we can never share Christ with the wrong person. Why was it that Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Bithynia and was instead called to Macedonia? I don't think that was because the Lord didn't want Christ shared with those folks in Asia. It's just that for Paul himself, personally, God was calling him at that time to go to Macedonia. So the gospel was opened up in Europe because of Paul's obedience to follow the Lord. And the Lord used others, I'm sure, to share the gospel in that in Asia. So I think each one of us just needs to be sensitive to how the Lord is leading and calling us, and sensitive to His guidance. That's all I meant by that. Okay, yes?
I mean, just comment on that. Maybe there are times to communicate not with the wrong person, but at the wrong time or in the mm-hmm. wrong way. Mm-hmm. I think of one brother who had an opportunity to give a ride on the back of his motorcycle to an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. The unbeliever knew he was a Christian. It was all geared up and ready to be pigeonholed and drummed with the gospel. Mm-hmm. It was all ready to fight it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long the trip was. It was quite a long trip. Okay. Christians never said a word to him about Christ.
Uh-huh.
And when they finally got there, he asked him, why? Why haven't you told me about Christ this whole trip?
Uh-huh.
And so his reticence was of the Lord. And at that time, after all that silence, the man wanted to hear.
Yeah. So there is that whole aspect of timing and being sensitive to the Lord's timing in a person's life, and seeing ourselves as links in a chain, and we may just be there to give a nonverbal witness through our care and our concern, and trust the Lord will bring someone else along, or there'll be another opportunity down the road to share with that person.
There's a danger in that too, though. You can't always tell yourself, well, I'm non-verbally sharing Christ now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like the illustration that someone used. Our witness is like an airplane. It has two wings, our verbal witness and our nonverbal witness. You can't fly an airplane with just one wing. you need both. There needs to be a balance of both of those. Okay, good. Any other questions? Yes. Readings for those interested in medical missions. The first thing that comes to my mind would be to contact Christian Medical and Dental Society. Here's a group that is very much involved in Christian medical and dental outreach. The other might be to contact CMML and to see which of our missionaries are involved in medical outreach. I know in Africa there's still very much going on that way, and they might be able to steer you to someone who is involved in medical outreach. Yes.
I'd just like to ask you, usually I'm inclined to think that the medical in the United States, little as Christian advocates, as Christian we are you in agreement? Would you agree that the medical is primarily the one steering out the gospel today?
Medical field in the United States? I don't think so. I think here most folks have access to good medicine and through secular sources. And I would say that there's not so much of a need for medical missions per se here in the United States as opposed to...
But I mean, the voice of God, I think, is more clear in the medical world than it is in the church in the United States.
Well, I'm not sure.
They are healers. Or is the voice of the church is, a lie and stuff?
Well, again, it goes back to which church we're talking about.
Okay.
There are a lot of false churches out there and teaching a false gospel. And
it did for me.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, sir.
Could you repeat some of those tracts that you made before, especially those
We mentioned some examples of evangelistic literature. One was just Gospel of John portions that you can get, I think, through the Bible Society. Gideon Bibles, contacting the Gideons. A piece of literature called The Answer that's distributed by the World Home Bible League. And we've used that extensively in the Philippines. A course of Emmaus courses, and I'm sure Gospel Folio and Mark Look has all kinds of good literature as well. Jade mentioned earlier that we have a book table with those kind of things. Another good booklet is called Ultimate Questions by John Blanchard. And then some tracts that were put out for the Olympics and World Cup called More Than Gold. That's distributed by DME Publishers, and they have a display here this week, or these days during conference. Pardon me? DME, yeah.
I can just mention, as far as Gospels of John, there's at one of the displays for free, there are Gospels of John, it's put up by absolutely free.
Absolutely free, okay. Can't beat that. Okay.
What I'd recommend is by Evangelism Explosion, it's called, I think, Do You Know For Sure? They're about 50 cents a piece. You give it out on a long contact, you couldn't afford to pass them out by the thousand, but it's one of the clearest expressions of gospel I've ever read. It takes about a 5 or 10 minute read.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you don't give it selectively.
Uh-huh.
You know for sure.
Okay, thank you. Do You Know For Sure is the title. That's printed by or published by Evangelism Explosion. Yeah.
I'll bring you one.
Oh, thank you. Okay, yes, Brian?
Gospel songs. Hmm. We can memorize songs, use them in ministering to people, hospitals, nursing homes, and even if you don't do a thing, you as a group of others, we as Christians, we sing a lot, we should develop our voice. That's a good way of preaching people.
Okay, so the importance of music in sharing the gospel. I think we have a seminar on that during the conference.
I like what you said about the internet as far as chat rooms go, and I have a lot of complaints on that. They like to so get chat rooms to help people and stuff. I'm wondering about chat rooms. It's not really a personal thing. You can't see your life. Plus, you really can't, a lot of times people get on the waste time. You don't really know where they're at. Might be wasting your time and asking questions. You don't really want to know. I don't know what our church has done. We set up a website. It has testimonies from a lot of our members, of the doctrine, and such things. And we set up so it's staff-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So we set up a program that all the elders and stuff, the church, can just add page to the site, delete it automatically, without having to know the interwelcome to the web.
Okay.
So we like, a lot of members of our church might share with somebody, and then we might give them the website so they can, go back and, do the gospel and then again.
Okay. Okay, so the question had to do with the internet and sort of some of the advantages and disadvantages of the internet. One of the disadvantages, obviously, is that there's no personal face-to-face interaction, but there's millions of people out there on the net that can be reached, and the brother mentioned the possibility of directing people to a website where they can find more information. If it's becoming a time-consuming process to get involved in a long conversation, I think that's something you have to balance, how much time you have available for that. Yes?
I think another problem, it's not really a problem, you just really have to be careful for. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Okay.
And on the internet, all you have is words. And the person on the other end might take it as, a blessing or as an insult, and you really have to be careful what you say, because that's how you say it.
Okay, the comment was made, we need to be careful how we say something as well as what we say. And that's something that can be lost on the internet. People can't see your facial expression or your tone of voice over the internet, and they may misunderstand something that you're saying because of the lack of face-to-face communication. Okay, yes, Karen?
I was wondering, the coffee houses that you mentioned that Brian Killen has, is that in connection with the assembly, or is it in a private...
The question was the coffee house ministry that Brian Killens is involved in Colombia. If that's what venue they use, they may do both. They may have some of their meetings in the assembly building itself, and other times they may be, say, in a restaurant or some other venue. I'm not sure. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes.
Specifically, how you are sharing the gospel at your clinics. Can you tell us a little bit about the most effective way of sharing the gospel in this situation?
Okay, the question was, how are we sharing the gospel in our medical dental clinics? I think I did mention if we have a Filipino evangelist there who can preach the gospel to the patients while they're waiting, then we'll do that. We also provide Christian literature, evangelistic literature for those who come, tracts and Emmaus courses, Men Who Met the Master. There's an introductory course that people can avail of, and then if they're interested, they send that course in, and then they can continue to get more courses. Another thing we mentioned is that we leave the names and addresses of those who attended the clinic with the local assembly, and then that local assembly, in turn, goes back and tries to visit those people and follow them up and ask them how they're doing, how their arthritis was or how their cold is, and then transition from there into inviting them to a Bible study. And one of the methods that we've found most effective in the Philippines is just home Bible studies. The people there are so hospitable and so gracious about having you into their home that we get invited to come back into their home and then just carry on with a Bible study in that way. Okay, yes, Elizabeth.
It might be good to add that there are some countries that you cannot go in as missionary.
Okay.
And you sometimes can go in with some kind of social agenda, such as to teach in a school, a college. That certainly is true in China.
Right.
And so you can use that avenue to put the base in the country.
Exactly. A comment was made that there are some countries that you cannot go into as a missionary, and so that the only way you can go in as a tent maker,
and being involved in social type work. We saw that this morning, didn't we, with John Berger in his ministry in Turkey, providing prosthesis for folks. And he's really helping to meet physical and spiritual needs in that way. Okay, any other?
Yes.
If I could just say one word on behalf of evangelistic non-social methods.
Okay.
The emphasis here is letting evangelists emerge out of your personal life in natural ways.
Uh-huh.
But there's a little man in Australia who used to go up the street corners and just cold cock people with the gospel. No social connection to them whatsoever. And all he would say to them, start to talk before about budget and expense, very efficient, low expense, he would say, may I have 30 seconds of your time?
Uh-huh.
And if you said yes, he would say, there are two roads in life. One leads to hell. One leads to heaven. It's worth considering what road you're on.
Hmm.
Thank you for your time. Ta-ta.
There's nothing like the direct approach sometimes, especially in street ministry. And I think we have a seminar on that. Just communicating the gospel itself, and praise the Lord for that. Again, we want to make sure that when we're talking about evangelistic social methods, that the method is always the handmaid of the message. I think that's the point we want to hang on to, is that whatever method we may use, it's always secondary to the primary objective of sharing the gospel. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your participation and your input. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this time. Thank you so much for each one that's here and for the things that have been presented. Lord, we do pray that we would be always ready to give a defense of the hope that's within us, yet with gentleness and reverence. And Lord, we do pray that as we see your return coming so soon, that we would be prepared in season and out of season to share your gospel with those who so desperately need you. We thank you again for the great privilege that is ours of sharing your word with those who need you so desperately. We pray, Father, that we'd be vessels of your mercy and your grace, that we'd have wisdom and sensitivity to you as we seek to share the Lord Jesus Christ with those around us. We ask these things in his worthy and precious name. Amen.